Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, Aggieville History, the topic of our conversation here with Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins and our Aggieville historian Dan Walter joining us here on the program. And Dan is, again, he's been involved with Aggieville history for quite some time, and there's got quite a few books out there that you can learn more about. There's some neat stuff in the Aggieville Archive Collection, and people can find out a lot of information about that on Facebook, right?
Yes, it's just called Aggieville Archives. And I've tried to put a lot of the books that I've published in as albums. So if you go into photos and then albums, then a lot of those, actually, I think almost all of the books that I've written are there to view. So there, I tend to make full color books with a lot of pictures, but it's a very small market of people. Lots of people like to look at them, but not very many people to buy them. So I thought, well, the best way to share them, I think, is just to put them on Facebook, and people can read through them in full color. It's not like having a book in front of you, but at least you can see what I've presented there.
Well, one of the things I like to do is go back and see how things used to be in any community, because it's really neat. It kind of tells the whole story of the community. And, you know, you got stories here about, you know, the first 100 years of Manhattan. You have the first 100 years of Aggieville from 1889 to 1989, and then the drugstores of Aggieville. Some neat things there, and, you know, the whole shape from what we see here now of Aggieville looks different than it did even, you know, 20 years ago.
Yes, I think that's right.
Always changing.
And, of course, students change over the years, and what students need or want changes. And that, of course, changes Aggieville, because it really always has been an area that caters to students and local community. I would submit that it's also a tourist area today, particularly students that went to college here and then come back to visit. They love going down to Aggieville and remembering old times.
As far as some other things you're involved in here, Dan, you have what I lost my place here. Sorry.
Hey, let me tell you about a couple things. Well, in 2016, when I had leukemia, I was in the hospital and I actually died. My heart stopped, and they were able to revive me. If you're going to have a heart attack, it's good to have it in a hospital room, in a hospital, one floor from ICU at KU Med. That was a good place to have it. But they got me going again. And, you know, it just make you think about, what are you doing here? Why has God put you in this place and given you a little more time? And there's a lot of things I'm doing. But one of the things was I've collected Aggieville history for since 1989, really. I did the book 100 Years of Aggieville, and people have given me stories and pictures and all this stuff. And I thought, I just don't want to hand Cheryl 40 boxes of books when I have boxes of stuff when I passed away. I thought, I'd like to share this, and I'd like to put it in a form that's reasonable. And maybe there's some things that I know that I haven't actually had a chance to write down. So I started Aggieville Archives, The Exhausting History of Aggieville, Manhattan, K-State, and Other Points of Interest, POINTZ. So when I go research, I find things that I think are interesting. This is my hometown, you know, and so it's not just about Aggieville. It's about really the founding of the town. And I'm not a PhD historian, you know, I like stories. And so I can't always prove that the story is true, but I can prove that somebody told it to me. So that makes for a little lighter history reading. Plus, I have as many pages of pictures as I do stories. And so I got up to 1853 to 1907. And that's that book is on my Facebook page. And I think people have enjoyed just looking through the history. And there's I've noted many other sources of better documented pictures, but I think mine's entertaining at least, and you learn a few things about Manhattan. So I don't know, we'll see. 1907 to today is a long time, and I have a bunch of notes and we'll see how long I live and how far I get on that.
Well, I love that. I think history is always personal. I mean, you have your interaction with the history around you, and everybody has a little different point of view of history, which I think makes it rich and interesting. So I think that's great. And I'm really, really glad that you're working on it. And I hope listeners will take inspiration from that and write down some of their personal history, because it's kind of the collective whole that makes our history.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned you have a library full of photos or whatnot. Do you have any personal favorites in your collection?
Boy, I've got probably 20,000 photos and articles and interview scripts and things. The time when the bar in Aggieville arranged to have, it looked like a plane had landed in the side of the building. That was pretty cool. That took a lot of time and effort. And it was a kind of a camouflage painted plane structure that they made it so it looked like it was going in the side of the building. That was good.
You know, that's a tradition that I don't think you see in other parts of Manhattan, is things on buildings like that. Clydesdale, that's on the liquor store on Bluemont, and then the big girl on the top of the Rockabilly. And
you're right.
Yeah.
And of course, Barney's used to have the big shirt on game day on the building.
And the Wildcat.
Yes.
The blow up Wildcat.
On top of the building. So, you know, and you just, I don't think I can think of another instance in Manhattan of things being on buildings. So I guess that's an Aggieville tradition that I hadn't thought of before. There's a lot of different Aggieville traditions. The tradition of course, they don't tear down goalposts anymore. I think they strongly discourage that. But in the old days, with a big win, the goalposts would be torn down and dragged to 12th and Morrow. And that was the, the meeting spot was 12th and Morrow.
That's right. Well, and, you know, it's been that way for so many years. K-State wins a big win in basketball, and people head down to Aggieville. K-State wins a big win in football, and people go down to Aggieville. So, it's just a gathering spot for students and a fun place to be. We've had so many huge gatherings down there that were just really even family friendly. The New Year's Eve in Aggieville, 8,000 to 10,000 people, you know, everybody behaves themselves and they take care of business. We used to have an Oktoberfest event. We've got the Maker Fair where people come down. Years past, we've had all sorts of really family-friendly events in Aggieville.
My son absolutely loved the Aggieville Halloween trick-or-treat.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all the parades that go through there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Homecoming. Man, I can think of some outstanding homecoming floats. The one that was like the Animal House cake that came through 1 year. And you know, when it dropped off, it said, beat the spread, because we were playing Oklahoma. It was wonderful.
That's cool. Good stuff. Yeah. Go ahead, Dan. Do you have something else?
Oh, just thinking it's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
It's been such a fun thing. Rick Mann and Sonny Ballard and some of the guys at that time helped put it together and attracts, you know, 1,000 runners, and the parade is always fun, and every once in a while it's a nice day, and it's always fun to be down there.
No doubt. Again, the Facebook page is Aggieville Archives. You can learn more about it and really find out some neat stories. We've heard some of them here this morning, just kind of tip of the iceberg, though, really, and more history to be written coming forward as Aggieville kind of takes on some new construction here. We've got the new hotel, obviously, about ready to open up, and some other developments. So the new parking garage is going to make things look a little different down there. So, history yet to be written. Well, who knows? Maybe they'll be talking about this in the next 20, 30 years about this time period. Dan has been really kind of been really eye-opening here. Thank you for joining us this morning, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. Good to have you.
Right. Cheryl, thank you so much, and we'll talk again next month.
Sounds good.
All right, that's going to wrap up our show here today on News Radio KMAN. Coming up tomorrow, we'll hear from our city officials, City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Wynn Butler join us on KMAN.
All right. Good to hear Dan's still doing well and keeping up with everything. So that was a fun conversation to listen in on. Thanks, Brandon. The GMCF Community Hour is coming up next, and guests include a couple of our CFA winners from last week, Bobby French and Shelley Williams. We'll also visit with folks from Katie's Way and the Boys and Girls Club of Manhattan on the GMCF Community Hour. On the other side of CBS News, then it's the Dave Ramsey Show. Dan Patrick, The Game, and Royals on the radio beginning at 6:30 tonight.